Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. And today joining us, we have a couple guests here from Kansas State University, the Economics Club. And first, we'll introduce them. Dan Keister, faculty advisor to the Economics Club. Good morning.
Morning.
And we also have Suzanne Rogenkamp, vice president of the Kansas State Economics Club. And she's a sophomore economics major. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you both on. Now, what we typically do here on KMAN is each October we get an update on the student price index. The Economics Club actually works on that as part of their curriculum, as I remember right, Dan, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's just kind of, I mean, we're an informal club, we're a departmental student organization, but we try to get students involved in extracurricular way on campus and with our club. And this has been both an opportunity to help teach inflation at the undergraduate level. Most of our faculty that teach macro will incorporate this into their lessons and compare it to the consumer price index. But it's also a way, and Suzanne, as our vice president of the club, can talk about this a little bit because she recruited the folks to go collect the data and do things. And it's just kind of a way to get people involved with the club, with a hands-on project where they're kind of a part of something, you know, bigger than just what we normally do, which is, oh, we actually got together in person to watch the presidential debate, which is a very small socially distanced group. But most of our other things have been on Zoom with a bigger group. And so this is just a nice way to get students together to go through this entire process. And it's really a hands-on thing where they're going and collecting the data.
It's interesting because this has been going on since 2002, and I was surprised, but maybe not too surprised, to see that this is only the second time that you've actually seen this student price index go down. And I don't know, Suzanne, you want to talk a little bit about what was found out with these numbers?
Yeah, so I feel like with COVID, we didn't expect it to really increase, but the main things that decreased were gas by 20%. Beer by 16%, and then textbooks and movies by 13%. The only thing that really increased was housing. And I feel like that wasn't that surprising. It was really interesting, though, to just see how much they fell, especially gas, since I know a lot of people aren't traveling during this time.
Yeah, and you guys measure a lot of different things here. So basically, it's based on, you know, what students typically go out and purchase. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Yes. And we try to mimic the U.S. Consumer Price Index. And so the release date of the press release is not unusual because it's the same day that the CPI data is put out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they have different percentages than we do. But when we first did this, we tried to be very thoughtful about, you know, how much should tuition be weighed? How much should housing be weighed? And then most of our, and then textbooks, and then our other items we kind of put in as miscellaneous items. And we try to, you know, be as thoughtful as we can about weighing these while at the same time, again, keeping the process simple enough that we can explain it to our members and we can explain it to the public at large and we can explain it to our classes when we teach inflation in our macro courses.
All right, so 1.5% decrease from 2019. The only other time that's happened was after the Great Recession in 2008 to 2009. So tell us, any comparisons between those 2 years?
Well, I guess I'll take this one since I was in charge of the Econ Club at both times. I think that, sure, I mean, these are the biggest periods of economic slowdown that we've really experienced since the Great Depression in terms of percentage drops in GDP. And if you look at the quarterly percentage drops that we experienced this year, they're far greater than the Great Recession, although the overall decline may turn out to be less over a longer period of time. But yeah, I mean, it's just a fact that you have people concerned about how things are going to shake out. And when that happens, there's less spending on goods and services. And when that happens, we usually, you know, see a decline in prices. So it, as Suzanne mentioned, I mean, when we talked about this as a group, we kind of thought we might see some deflation, and we did. The last time the deflation was less than 1%. I mean, 1.4% is not a major amount of deflation. It's not something that you think would continue to spiral downward because these are unique circumstances. And I should mention the overall price index for the country is still up about 1.5%.
All right. What about collecting the data? Was that any more of a challenge this year, Suzanne?
I would say for the most part, no, since most businesses were open. For the most part, people would get on the sheet and sign up for what they wanted to go and get for a price. A lot of it was online this year, thanks to COVID, which was, I guess, another thing that kind of helped. But for the most part, I'd say it was pretty easy to collect all the data.
That's interesting. As far as kind of the learning experience here that you got out of it, what did working on a project like this do for you?
I think it definitely helped me realize how big of a project it is. I'd seen it come out in the past years, and I didn't realize how much goes into it. You go out, collect the data, you work together as a team, and then you also have to interpret it and write a press release. And I think it was really interesting just to see how the whole process goes together, and I think that was the biggest thing I got out of it.
All right. Why should people care about inflation and deflation, Dan?
Well, you want to be aware of your real wage. You want to be aware of how far your dollar is going to travel. And again, this specific measure of inflation is designed for K-State students. So this is not, everything this year has been kind of bad, right? I mean, this is not a great year. 2020, no one's going to put this up as the greatest year ever. But we like to say ceteris paribus in economics, holding all their things equal. A decline in the price level means that a student that has the same access to funds this year through work or however they have their funds as opposed to last year, their dollar is going to go a little further and they're going to be able to buy a few more things and hopefully be under a little less pressure. Now, some people may be hearing this and say, again, things are bad out there, Keister, and I'm well aware of that, but that's why we use ceteris paribus. So if we think about, the idea that prices have fallen, other things equal, that's in a short term, it's relatively good for the consumer. You don't want to see prolonged deflation because that can be an indicator again of big economic problems in the overall economy. But right now it's just a way to measure that, students' dollars are going to go a little further than they did last year, which by itself is a good thing.
Yeah. And is that kind of what you're hearing from your fellow students, Suzanne?
Oh, I would definitely say most of us were pretty glad with the results, seeing it went down. We have a little bit more money in our pockets.
I mean, it's good to see that. And obviously, a lot of folks have got the stimulus there back in April. I don't know if that played into it a little bit here or not. Do you think so, Dan?
I think to some degree that offset the effects. So had there been no stimulus, and I don't want to get political here, but there has been kind of some political back and forth. I don't want to cast blame on having, more stimulus right now. And I think that's disappointing. Had there been no stimulus, I think then we might have seen a much larger decline because that kind of did enable, people to smooth out their consumption patterns on certain goods. And therefore, the declines in demand for certain things has been lower than it would have been otherwise. So I think that absolutely had an impact, and it kind of mitigated the effects of what we might have seen otherwise.
Anything else maybe I haven't asked that you want to get out there to the public?
The only thing I'd say, and Suzanne did a fantastic job in organizing the collection process, involving a number of students, helping organize the process to do the press release, which we're really proud of, and under somewhat difficult circumstances. I've been blessed to just kind of be able to take the document, the Excel sheet, and the data, and turn it over to my vice presidents these past few years, and just I don't have to worry about anything other than occasionally showing up for things like this. And so it's really she did a great job, and the club is still active and involved, and we appreciate the attention, and we appreciate being involved on campus, I guess.
Definitely interesting to read. And if people want to learn more, do you guys have a website or a social media page we could send them to?
We do. We have both. We have a Facebook page, just K-State Econ Club. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm going to try to find the official address of our departmental, because our website is updated. We had some really awesome speakers this semester. We had Tim Fitzgerald, Vahe Gregorian, and Andrew Manis talk about the future of college athletics. We had Shoshana Weissman talk about occupational licensing. And we had David Figlio and Miguel Urquiel, I'm probably saying that wrong, I'm afraid, discuss student choice in education. So our webpage is kstate.edu/economics/econclub. And we have the lectures from this semester and our price index. If you want more of the data, we have the entire press release and things about our price index all available. We just updated the website, so we're pretty excited about hopefully people digging it up and finding us. And so, yeah, we're pretty easy to find. If you just Google search K-State Economics Club, I think you should find it as well.
All right. Dan Keister, faculty advisor to the Economics Club, and Suzanne Rogenkamp, the vice president of the Economics Club. Thank you guys for joining us here, and good luck going forward.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.